Kickoff is crushed. Deep center. Off the top of the batter's eye. De La Cruz destruction. First pitch, center field. Frelick was deep. Coming on. He slides. It gets by. De La Cruz can fly. He storms to second. Churio gathers. Edge of the track. Windmill is on. Relay to the plate. De La Cruz. Save!
Well, hey, what's going on? Happy Tuesday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a bit, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. But first, let's recap Monday night's Reds game. The Reds players got to witness the solar eclipse while taking batting practice on Monday afternoon at Great American Ballpark. Some pretty cool scenes and photos and videos the Reds put out. Showing this crazy event and a pretty cool cathedral, I think they call it a cathedral, of Great American Ballpark. Unfortunately, Jonathan India took a shot to the leg off the bat of Nick Martini during batting practice while he was working on grounders. India ended up being scratched from the lineup, but the Reds said it was actually because of swelling in his hand from getting hit by a pitch on Sunday. Really rough 24 hours for Jonathan India. And despite all the bad vibes going into this game, the Reds took an 8-0 lead into the fourth inning as they beat up on Brewers starting pitcher Aaron Ashby, who was making his first start in the big league since 2022. Ellie De La Cruz's speed created two runs early from reaching on an error, stealing a base, and then scoring another run all the way from first base on a bunt and some bad defense. Spencer Steer just did what Spencer Steer does. He had a 2-RBI double, and Will Benson hit his first career home run against a lefty. Graham Ashcraft was cruising early. He only allowed one base runner through the first four innings, but he gave up three runs in the fifth. That made it 8-3. Ellie De La Cruz did get a run back when he hit a 450-foot moonshot to make it 9-3, but then Ashcraft gave up three more runs and didn't make it out of the sixth inning. He left with a score 9-6, and it could have been worse if not for Stuart Fairchild. He robbed Willie Adames of a home run. In fact, Fairchild's catch was the ESPN Sports Center top 10 number one play of the day. Justin Wilson gave up his first runs of the season when he gave up a two-run home run to Christian Yelich in the seventh, and just like that, the Reds' lead was all the way down to 9-8. Lucas Sims did stabilize the game. He struck out three batters and got out of the seventh inning. And then Ellie De La Cruz gave the Reds a big insurance run when he hit an inside-the-park home run in the bottom of the seventh to make it 10-8 Reds. Fernando Cruz threw a perfect eighth with two strikeouts. Alexis Diaz walked and hit a batter, but he got the job done. Reds win 10-8 over the Brewers. You might remember the Reds last season went just 3-10 against Milwaukee in the season series. So a big one, getting the first win against the Brewers in 2024. Here is Ellie De La Cruz post-game with Jim Day. His first interview from the field in English.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Electricity here. Especially against the Brewers, man. I don't know what it is against you versus the Brewers, but the inside the park home run. J.R. House was waving you around, but were you going to go regardless once it got past you?
Yeah, anyways, I say when I see him missing that ball, I say I go home. Doesn't matter what happened, I go home.
How enjoyable is that? And do you continue to say that running is the favorite part of baseball for you?
Yeah, that's my favorite part. And that, I mean, I enjoy that this, like, every moment, and that was electric. And the fans, electric every day, every night.
No doubt about that it's electric. Two home runs in this game, one off the batter's eye, 450 feet. Did you get the pitch you were looking for?
Yeah, 3-2 count. I was looking for fastball, and he told me. He told me the fastball, and I didn't miss it. I didn't miss it.
No, you did not miss it. Now, we've talked a lot about the work you did in the offseason, shortening your swing, putting the brakes on. I know it's a work in progress, but are you starting to feel more comfortable with the work that you did?
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable. And I feel comfortable since the season started. Sometimes we don't get hit or good contact, but I still feel comfortable. And the work is you see it right now. Like, I put a lot of work in off season, and I feel great.
One final question. Last year versus Milwaukee didn't go so well for you guys. How big is it to get the first game against those guys?
I mean, they win a lot of games against us last year. No, this year we're going to win a lot of games against them. We're going to get them. And it's like a battle against them. We put a lot of work, and we never give up.
Your first post-game interview in English. We're proud of you, my man. Congratulations on the big game.
Thank you.
And how about Ellie De La Cruz's night for the Reds? He hit a home run from both sides of the plate. He hit a home run over the fence and an inside the park home run. He scored 4 runs, and he stole a base. And he's the first player in Major League history to do all of those things in the same game. And so much for Ellie De La Cruz's slow start. He's now hitting .297 with a .961 OPS. Will Benson also had a really nice night for the Reds. He had a double and a home run, both coming against a lefty. Here's what he had to say after the game.
Against the Brewers, how big is it to get them? I mean, it's one game, but one to get game. The first one against them.
Yeah, before that game, DB said, you know, obviously, let's just set the tone and let them know who we are right away. And we came out the gate and did that. So, I mean, me personally, I love playing the Brewers just because of that, you know, that little chip. So it's obviously good that we came out and did what we did today.
Any extra satisfaction for you against a lefty tonight?
Yeah, no, that was that was amazing. Just grateful, a lot of preparation going into today, and just got my swings off.
What did it look like just from your view of watching De La Cruz run the bases?
Amazing. I mean, I heard that he was running like 30 miles an hour or something like that around the bases the whole time. So that's pretty incredible. And I had my eyes glued in on JR just to see, like, was he going to wave him or what? And as soon as he waved him, I was excited because I knew he was going to be inside the park home run. So incredible.
What's it been like watching him when, you know, maybe things didn't go his way for the first whatever week of the season, and then he comes back with the performance tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I said this last year. I think Cincinnati is truly blessed with a real superstar just because he doesn't change, you know, regardless of what he's going through or how he's playing. I mean, he's a genuine treat to be around, an amazing person, amazing teammate. So, you know, obviously he's awesome. You know, he's a great player, but, you know, he's a superstar in the sense that it doesn't matter. You know, he's the same guy every day.
You can appreciate Stewart's play in right field.
Yeah.
The play of the game in some respects.
For sure. Oh, no, it was an amazing play. He timed it up perfect. And, again, that pretty much saved us, you know, if you really do think about it. It's a whole different ball game if that goes out.
And lastly, here's Reds manager David Bell.
Just a few things happened tonight. Obviously, yeah. Ellie's huge night, but Fairchild's catch in what turned out to be a close game, pretty clutch.
It was, yeah. That was a great defensive play. Stu continues to just do a lot for us, really. But, yeah, great play. Timed it up perfectly. And, you know, we know how important those defensive plays are. I mean, they take a lot of runs off the board. And, you know, he did it all by himself on that play.
Ellie, is tonight another night that you just never know what's going to happen with this young man?
Yeah, I mean, the exciting, fun part to watch is to watch Ellie run, which is incredible. But at the same time, like, you know, we're looking at the at-bats that he had to get into those positions, and really happy with, you know, he's working so hard at it, and it's nice to see it pay off. He had a big night at the plate.
Will talked about a meeting before the game about playing the Brewers, maybe a message that you had?
I mean, we do that from time to time before meetings. It's more of just conversation. But, no, I was really happy with the way we came out and played our style of baseball, really, is just how we play. And it's pretty simple, but came out and played hard. And it was a good day of work before the game. And, of course, you know, took everybody tonight, so played together. You know, and that's kind of who we are. But there's no question it takes our best to play against all these teams, especially the inner division, you know, the Brewers. We know how good of a team they are.
Nothing about sending a message to the Brewers or the division?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, you're always trying to say, you know, you're going, it's a great competition, so it's nothing, certainly nothing personal. It's absolute respect, you know, for all the teams we play, and definitely the Brewers are at the top of that list.
This probably comes as no surprise, but our deep drive of the game goes to Ellie De La Cruz for his fifth inning, 450-foot home run, 112 off the bat, went off the batter's eye, straight away center field. And as always, our deep drive of the day, sponsored by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks, as always, to our friends at DSC. All right, checking on scores around the NL Central. The Pirates, they beat the Tigers 7-4. Pirates just keep on winning every single night, it seems like. Cardinals lost 5-3 to the Phillies in 10 innings. And the Chicago Cubs lost 9-8 to the Padres. The Cubs led 8-0 in this game. Just an unfortunate night for the Cubs out at Petco Park. So your NL Central standings, the Pirates lead the way at 9-2. Brewers now 6-3. Reds and Cubs both 6-4. And the Cardinals are 5-6. All right. Well, here's myself and Trace Fowler on Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. Stick around at the end, and I'll tell you about Tuesday night's starting pitching matchup.
All right, Nick. Winning edition. Big-time winning edition of Chatterbox Reds, always the better kind. And you know what? It just seemed like tonight I was a little worried at times because the Brewers were in town and they just seemed to find a way. I don't know how it is. You know, the Brewers, and I haven't been paying much attention to them this year, Nick, but the Brewers might have scored 8 runs the last 2 weeks. And next thing you know, you find them scoring 8 runs in one game against the Cincinnati Reds. But it doesn't matter. It all doesn't matter. At the end of the day, Nick, you feeling all right now?
I'm feeling great. Hey, look, I think the Reds went 3-10 against the Brewers last year. You hate when you have an 8-0 lead that the game gets dicey, but hey, give a lot of credit to Sims, Cruz, and even a little bit to Diaz for getting it done in the later innings. Ellie De La Cruz, some folks are saying he's back. Some folks are saying he never left. I don't know where you might fall, but hey, look, it's a Reds win against the Milwaukee Brewers. We move along.
It was a hell of a night. It was a hell of a night, and I'm just thankful that the Reds held on, because it would have been just as exciting and as happy as I am now. I would have been the opposite if they didn't find a way to win this game.
Yeah, I won't lie. When it got down to a 1-run game, I was like, oh man, I do not want to do a show if this happens. There's nothing worse than having to try to salvage that up, because there's nothing you could say that's right. But hey, the Reds won, and there's now nothing I could say that's wrong. So that's kind of how these shows go. And so it's a great night from now on.
That it is. It's a very, very good night. All right, let's get into it. You want to start? You want to start right off the rip of the show? You want to start right at the rip of the show? Here we go. Ellie De La Cruz. The floor is yours, Nick. Go ahead.
I think he's going to be okay, folks. I think he's going to be okay. This is the kind of game where everyone can take a deep breath. And when you see the next time he strikes out 3 times in a game, you can say, look, this is what he's capable of. This is what he can win a game on his own. Ellie De La Cruz won the game for the Reds today. His fingerprints were all over the game from the first inning till the ninth inning. This is the player. This is our hope, and there's going to be growing pains, but man, it just felt good to have one of those nights where everyone can go, all right, yeah, that's Ellie De La Cruz. That's our guy. And, man, tonight, just even not just the home run on the inside the park home run, maybe just as impressive was when he reached on the air, that he completely forced the air on the defense, ran around the bases, scored a run from first on a bunt. It's just, there's so many different ways that he can beat you, And when he's on, there's no player like him in this sport.
You know, I decided to purchase something, and it was really for the idea, perhaps, of having a prop every now and again, maybe if I have to dunk a basketball. And then I remembered I had it, and I and people probably think that I'm sunburnt right now. They think that, oh, man, Trace, you need to put sunscreen on. What I've actually been doing over the last 5 minutes is doing this. This thing just got out of the package. I don't know if you can see it or not, but what I'd like to ask here to my good friend is, this is Fred from Facebook. Fred from Facebook said that Ellie De La Cruz should have been in AAA last week. Anything to say? Yeah, well, it turns out Ellie's good again. I don't know. The thing is, Ellie De La Cruz, he has the ability to do what he did tonight all the time. And that's what I've been saying. Like, for the Reds to be as good as we ultimately want them to be, then that is the Ellie that we need more times than not. I'm just saying. That's the truth. That is the cold, hard truth. My question is, if you were to get rid of Ellie, what's left? Like, Espinal, by the way, shout out to him. I'm not going to slander his name tonight. I did last night, but not tonight. I won't do it. He had a solid game. It didn't show up in the box score, maybe, but he did have a solid game. And I just want to say, if that's the backup plan to Ellie De La Cruz, I'm not interested. Just saying.
I'm not sure where to go from there.
You have a problem with Fred? Do you have a problem from Fred?
That was coming, folks. It's always an adventure here on a Chatterbox Friends.
Did you have a problem with Fred? Huh?
I did not have a problem.
Fred also doesn't really like Stuart Fairchild. He said he's not good at baseball.
Look, I don't want to go too far, but it was a tough night for the Ellie and Stu haters, which seemed to be like the same person. So, look, it was a tough night, and I'll feel for you. Hopefully, you can get him back tomorrow.
We shall find out. All right, let's get into some other areas of discussion. You put in the rundown here. I'm just going to read it. Bell leaves in Ashcraft. I'm going to say something, and this isn't slanderous. I'm just saying what I think is relatively true. Defense matters. We all agree with that, right? Defense kind of bit us a little bit in that seventh inning. Just going to say it. I love Spencer Steer. I think he's doing an admirable job out there. I think he's been as good as you could ever hoped him to be. But if we're being honest, a traditional outfielder probably catches that ball and two runs don't score and the wheels don't kind of fall off. And you probably don't even think twice about Ashcraft being in or not being in. I'm not trying to defend Ashcraft significantly, but he had a really weak hit that he tried to make a play on. He threw the ball away. I thought he threw the ball unbelievably well. I know that the box score might not look like that, but I thought he threw the ball really, really well. And he was on the short end of the stick. Both defensively and maybe what we'll call a swinging bunt that then turned into an error by him. He compounded a mistake. But I guess your thoughts on just the situation with Ashcraft.
Yeah, I put that in because, you know, my mentions were as soon as Ashcraft gave up runs, what is David Bell doing? Blah, blah, blah. And I get it. Look, he didn't look great.
Wait a minute. Time out. I know we're supposed to do a formal show here, but you have people chiming. What is he supposed to do? He can never win. He can never win. The guy can never win. If he would have taken him out and the bullpen blew it, it's like, oh, there goes Captain Hook again, pulling guys in the sixth, seventh inning, or whatever it is. Like, David Bell literally can't win with some of these people. It's Fred. Fred from Facebook. Those bastards suck, man. They're the worst, by the way. You should stop interacting with them. They're called drains in life, Nick. They're drains. Hang out with some more fountains. You know what I'm saying? By the way, best advice I can give on this show before you get going here is that you just need to be a fountain in life. You know, don't be a drain. If you're a drain, figure it out and be a fountain. Go ahead, Nick. Proceed.
I was just going to say, look, this is game 4 of 14 days in a row of a game that the Reds play. And you have to try to get extra outs from your starting pitchers. We saw last year in September what happens when you overuse your bullpen. And, it completely backfired on David Bell if you want to go that route because he ended up having to use all of his good relievers tonight. But, I mean, you have to trust Graham Ashcraft with a 9-6 lead, I think it was at the time. You have to trust him to be able to get a couple more outs in that spot, in my opinion. If he can't, you probably don't have any business being in the big leagues. Am I right? And I'm not saying Graham Ashcraft shouldn't be in the big leagues, because he does, but this is a learning experience for Graham Ashcraft. This is an experience where, you know, hey, next time, all right, hey, I got to be a little more aggressive. I thought he maybe wasn't as aggressive in that sixth as he was earlier in the game. It felt like he was really finding the corners, and it kind of felt like he was just, you know, more just trying to get through that inning. He still have to pitch, even with a big lead. And I think it's a learning experience for him, but you do have to protect the bullpen. And I've said it a million times, I think that managing a bullpen is incredibly difficult. It's something that we fans don't realize how difficult it is to do on a night-in basis. With pitchers that aren't available on certain nights that we never know about. I used to be a lot more critical of bullpen management, but over the years, and the more people you talk to, the more information you get, it's a brutal job trying to manage a bullpen. So I didn't have an issue with it. I get why it stinks when Ashcraft looks pretty rough and then gives up some runs and you get back in the game and then you have to use all your good relievers anyways. But I think overall, you have to try to get the extra outs in those type of spots, even if it's against the Brewers.
Okay. I'm looking back here because I Scott in the chat, I'm trying to be fair, okay? Scott's saying I'm being disingenuous, which I'm not trying to be disingenuous. Maybe I just missed it. And to be fair, that was possible. I was running around doing some things, watching the game. But at the same time, I need to go back. I'm going to see how many times he got a hard hit ball. Because, again, as I said before, Spencer Steer doesn't overrun that ball and he catches it in left field. Nobody's talking about it. So maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to do my best as we go through the show to go back through here and just look at...
To Scott's point, in the fifth inning, there was 1, 2, 3 balls hit over 103.9 miles an hour off Ashcraft. He was giving up some really hard contact in the fifth. So, I think people like Scott's point, you know, Ashcraft looked like, all right, he might be running out of gas, but you still have a 6-run lead.
Yeah, okay, it's a 6-run lead. Like, oh, you can't pull guys with 6-run leads, dude. We have to, a full year. You got to save your bullpen at some point. Like, we can't complain on both sides of this thing. Is why I'm getting upset. Like, at the end of the year, we're gonna be like, oh, well, we got a guy that's throwing the ball relatively. Like, you can say he's getting shelled all over the place. I mean, yeah, he had some hard hit balls off of him, but he has a 6-run lead. Let him try to eat up some more innings. And yeah, you could argue that it ultimately backfired, certainly. But if he'd have gone out the next inning, and again, I'm just looking at the following inning, he goes fly out, softly hit single, and then the double by Bryce Terang that had a 160 expected batting average. So what are we talking about? If he'd had a I'm not trying to kill Steer, but if he had a competent left fielder, he doesn't even give up a run in the sixth inning. I move on. We won tonight, by the way, 10-8. I want to let everybody know that. It's just like every night, man. I look in there and David Bell did something wrong. I'm so tired of it. And it's nothing against Scott, by the way. That's not against Scott. I'm just saying, I just don't know if the guy never wins.
Yeah. There'll be times to I think, crush David Bell. I don't
know. Oh, yeah, definitely. It's called a Sunday in Oakland.
Hey, we're April 9th. Haven't got there yet. So
yeah, thank God.
We're still alive. But right. I do get what Scott's point is. There was that fifth inning. There was some really, really hard contact. And look, if this is a game in September, maybe you say, hey, we can't get cute. This is a game against Brewers. But this is April. I mean, you got to be careful with your bullpen. Especially, look, you just lost TJ Antone. The Reds are going to be doing a 6-man rotation. So they're going to have one less reliever too going forward. So I just think you have to pick your spots and, I that's just kind of where I'm at on that.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Bullpen. Sims, Cruz, Diaz, Cruz. Boy, I tell you what. If and we've said this how many times, but if Cruz has that splitter going, he's nasty. Nasty.
And how important was that inning from Sims? I mean, it felt like the wheels were falling off.
Right.
And for him to get 3 strikeouts, stabilize the game, that was one of the bigger innings. I'll say that Lucas Sims' pitch maybe in a Reds uniform. I don't think that's really hyperbole. That was a huge spot. The game could have got away from the Reds, and this is a game you can't lose this game, man. That would have just been brutal after the season you had last year against this Milwaukee team. So that was a huge inning from Sims, huge inning from Cruz. Diaz, I mean, I guess huge inning from him. Diaz is just Diaz. I don't know what you really say about him at this point. Overall, he's doing fine, and we'll keep taking it. I do worry it's going to catch up at some point, but somehow it hasn't yet, so I'm just going to keep crossing my fingers and hoping it doesn't.
You know, the beautiful thing is, and I know you made a joke or reference about it on X, and I know you were just having fun, but the beautiful thing is they won this game in the fashion they did, and they still were they were terrible with runners in scoring position in regards to getting hits.
Three for 12. The analytical freaks, sometimes say that runners in scoring position is a little overrated. You know, I don't think.
Can we talk through this? I think you're right. I don't think that there's like a way for you to be like, oh, a better hitter with runners in scoring position. Maybe you could say there's a clutch gene or not. I think it's hugely meaningful in the game itself, but I don't know how you get better at it, if that makes sense. I don't think there's a way to get better at it. It's just one of those things where it's like, that's the only reason that the Brewers were even in this game. What were the Brewers with runners in scoring position? I bet they were 5 for 10. So, I mean, that's my point. It felt like the Reds just completely outplayed them, but the game got kind of closer than it should have, and that's a big part of the reason why. And I'm not suggesting that you have to get better at it. I don't know if you can get better at it. It's just one of those things where over the full season, though, is what I'm getting at, is that it will average out. I do believe that. It will average out. So the good news is they won a game where, you know, I guess, quite frankly, they didn't hit all that well with runners in scoring position. And 3 for 12 is not horrible. But Fairchild, what a game by him. We'll get to him in probably just a minute. If he's not on the second J-bar, I'm going to tell you right now, Nick, fix it. You do what you got to do. The only thing I was going to add before we get to that is Fairchild had a chance to make it a 4-run lead and get a hit there with 2 outs, but unfortunately he wasn't able to. And those are the things that ultimately, unfortunately, might bite you in the rear end if it didn't go the way we'd all hope. So.
Yeah, I mean, look, I joke about it a little bit. I do think that, you know, your average with running in scoring position is one of the most overrated stats out there. I think, especially with a young team, you got to worry about getting on base. You got to worry about getting runners in scoring position before you worry about how often you're cashing in. But it just can, it's all about opportunities and how many you get. And overall, I mean, the Reds, you know, one thing that was talked about a lot over the weekend was how many strikeouts the Reds have. And the one thing that I don't think was talked about enough was how many times the Reds walked in that series against the Mets. And this is a very young team. The Reds are walking a lot. And that's a good development, especially with the Reds with some of their speed. I think that's a good thing.
As always, we have to talk about game time here. And it's a relatively simple thing, okay? For those that don't know, Game Time is a sponsor of us, and we very much appreciate them. They are a ticketing service. You can download the Game Time app and use code CINCY, that's CINCY. You can get $20 off your first purchase. And personally, I've used the Game Time app numerous times. You've heard me say before. 2 clicks, you can check out. Click all in pricing. You don't have to worry about the back end fees on the back end of it, and get yourself all excited because you think you got a deal and then you realize you don't. That's kind of a bummer, as they might say. But use code CINCY, CINCY, get $20 off your first purchase. And thank you to our friends at the Game Time app for giving us a chance. We appreciate that. All right, Benson, lefty on lefty. Listen, I'm going to defend you a little bit. Like, at some point, we got to be fair on the lefties that Will Benson's facing. And I'm not trying to downplay Will Benson and what he did tonight by any stretch of the imagination, but they were facing some guy named Ashby. I said it earlier, you could replace the H with an S and just get rid of the bye, and I think that's what you ultimately wind up with. But, you know, it is what it is. He played really, really well, taking nothing away from him. Am I already hook, line, and sinker on thinking that he's going to start mashing lefties? No. But it's a nice sign, if anything. How about that?
Well, the most important thing is the Reds don't really have a better option right now than Will Benson playing against lefties. If they had a better option, it's a different conversation. I'm not going to sit here and beg for Bubba Thompson to play over Will Benson against a left-handed pitcher. I think you can make a case that Bubba Thompson should play because he's probably a better defender, but I'm not going to sit here and make a case about it because it's stupid. It's pointless. So good for Will Benson. I mean, tonight took chance of his opportunity, and if he continues to do it, I hope he proves me wrong. I hope he proves I think the Reds wrong, because I don't think the Reds believe in his ability to hit left-handed pitchers either, but they're just kind of in that spot right now. First 53 at-bats against lefties, he had two extra base hits. Tonight he had two extra base hits, so he doubled his career total tonight, so good for him. I hope he continues to do it, but again, I'm just going to look at the numbers until the numbers tell me something different.
Yeah, I think it's more than fair, but it's nice to see Benson. Baseball's kind of got a weird way of just being a thing, and he got a day off, got a chance to take a little bit of a breather. I know he got an at-bat the other night, but he didn't start, and he was, what, two for his last, I think, 19 when he kind of got the day off, per se. Comes back, his first at-bat since getting the day off, outside of, obviously, the at-bat he got in the game. He smashes a home run. So shout out to Will Benson. He's continued to be a solid player, and we need him to do that moving forward, because right now it just feels like the depth on this team, oddly enough, of all things, is very, very thin right now. So, you know, he's getting opportunities he wouldn't have otherwise gotten, like you said before. I think it's safe to say if TJ Friedl's healthy, he doesn't get these chances. So
yeah, and it is what it is, but hey, right now he's got to continue to take it.
All right, let's do it. Stuart Fairchild. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. I think at this point, is there a chance he does something like the fly ball in Chicago? And the next thing you know, everybody's already, you know, and I say everybody, I think we need to be careful from time to time too. I it's almost like the what is it, the vocal minority is like kind of what you see all the time on social media when that's not really the truth. I think if you watch this club day in, day out, you know a little bit of ball, maybe you're not as overreactive. I think you'll come around to be like, you know what? This guy's very serviceable. Very serviceable. He hits left-handed pitching very, very well. Plays a pretty good outfield. I know the play he made tonight was fantastic, but ultimately he does play a good outfield, and he's fast. He's got speed on the bases. And you add all that together, it's a pretty damn good player, especially when you don't really rely or you don't really ask much of him. And the last thing I'll say is that, you know, everyone thought maybe the spring was a little fluky, like, oh yeah, that's due, it's a spring training thing. He's kind of carried it over a little bit. And you know what? He doesn't really get consistent opportunities, which is damn hard. That's damn hard to do. I've always found the kids that come off the bench in college or maybe even the pros that are sharp shooting three-point shooters and they got like a 40% plus three-point shooting percentage, that's unbelievably impressive to just be able to come off the bench and drain threes. That's kind of what Stu does. He doesn't get consistent opportunities, but when he comes in, he's pretty damn good.
Yeah, he's not trying to do too much offensively too, which is, I think I've talked about that before, but right now he's got a 409 on base percentage, walked twice tonight. He seems to be really just kind of taking, you know, what he's given, and I think that's what you want out of him. I'm more just excited to see him make a good defensive play, because I know, I believe this guy is a good defender, but when you see small samples of these guys, like even Santiago Espinal, everyone thinks he's a terrible defender. I'm like, he's not a bad defender. He just had a couple bad games, but when that's all you see over a couple games, I get why people, you know, kind of jump to those conclusions. I was really happy to see him make a good defensive play, because I think that's maybe a bigger strength of him really than his offense, but it hasn't really shown up as much because people just remember the one or two bad plays and when he's been in a particular spot. So that was just really, really cool to see for me, just to you know, see people see what he's really capable of.
Correct. I completely agree. I think he's one of those guys where I always give outs above average a hard time a little bit. But I do think he's one of those players where you rely on those types of metrics, those types of statistics, those type of sabermetrics, if you will, on trying to get the full potential out of what Stewart brings, because I think he does get good jumps on balls. And I think he does have enough speed where he's going to get to some balls that other guys don't get to. And you take it for granted when he gets underneath the baseball that other guys might struggle to get to. And I guess Bubba Thompson, kind of one of the same in that regard, a little bit as well. Hopefully the fan base will kind of come around and figure out, to a certain extent, how valuable those guys are. Should they be everyday players? No. Are good teams going to have Bubba Thompson start in center field more times than not? No. But for what we're asking them to do, they're more than serviceable. All right, Jonathan India. You can only make this stuff up with the Reds, man. I'm not trying to be like a super pessimistic guy tonight. The Reds win 10-8. I'm going to be up. I like to stay upbeat. I'm feeling good. But like I seen that before the game, and I'm just like, I watched it like five times to try to figure out. And I love Nick Martini. He's provided. How the hell did Nick Martini even hit the ball over there? Like, you know how hard you have to roll over a ball to hit it that far to the right, and then. Of course, it's the internet, so you never know what you're going to get. Then people are complaining because he's standing there. It's like, dude, he's standing in a spot that just like, you might as well complain about guys standing in the on-deck circle during the game and they get hit in the game. You know, like, why are they standing in the on-deck circle? That's a dangerous spot. I don't know, man. The chances of getting hit are just absurdly small. Last year, Noelvi Marte gets hit in the face playing toss. This year, India gets hit taking batting practice. I'm hopeful that it's precautionary. Has there been anything that has come out that you've seen yet on Jonathan India?
Well, the interesting thing that Sadak said during the broadcast is he wasn't kept out because of getting hit. He was kept out because of swelling in his hand from getting hit by the pitch yesterday.
Okay.
So it was actually because of yesterday. It wasn't because of today. It just was one of those things like, geez, poor guy. It's a rough couple nights. So hopefully it was just, you know, a little bit of swelling and he'll be back in the lineup tomorrow because the Reds really, really need Jonathan India right now. He's been outstanding. He's been getting on base at the top of the lineup and you just cannot afford to have him out right now. Well, the Reds minor league affiliates typically do not play on Monday, and that was the case this week. But here is the action on Tuesday. AAA Louisville will be taking on Columbus at 6:05 p.m., Connor Phillips scheduled to start on Tuesday night for the Bats. AA, the Chattanooga Lookouts, they will host Tennessee at 7:15. In High A, the Dayton Dragons will be at Cedar Rapids at 7:35. And then at Low A, Daytona will host Palm Beach at 6:35. But for the big league club, for the Reds, Tuesday night, 6:40 start time again. It'll be on Bally Sports Ohio. For the Reds, it'll be Frankie Montas. Can't do much better than his start to the season. He's got a 0.77 ERA. Montas has only faced the Brewers one time in his entire career. He gave up four runs in 3 1/3 back in 2022. And the Brewers that have faced Montas, Willy Adames is 3-for-5 with a homer and a double. Rhys Hoskins is 2-for-2. Christian Yelich is 0-for-2. For the Brewers, it'll be right-handed starting pitcher Joe Ross. He'll be making just his second start with the Brewers. He went 3 2/3 without allowing a run to the Twins in his Brewers debut, but he did walk five batters in that game. That start was the first time Ross had pitched in the big leagues since August 10th, 2021. He made just nine minor league starts from 2022 and 2023 as he had Tommy John surgery, and then he also had a couple other injuries during his rehab. Unlike Aaron Ashby, Monday starter for the Brewers, Ross's velocity did look pretty good in his first start, despite the command issues. He was right around his pre-injury numbers of not 93 miles per hour on his sinker. Ross has a career 2.35 ERA in four starts against the Reds, but he has never pitched at Great American Ballpark. Some Reds against Ross, Jamer Candelario is 1-for-3 with a homer. Jonathan India is 1-for-1. Tyler Stevenson is 0-for-2, and Nick Martini has walked in his only plate appearance against Ross. Well, thanks so much, as always, for listening to Chatterbox Reds. Appreciate your support. If you have not yet subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, wherever you're listening to this podcast, make sure you do that right now. New podcast the morning after every single game, all season long. And, of course, also be sure to subscribe to Chatterbox Sports on YouTube, where we do live post-game shows. If you could, leave us a 5-star review. Also, tell a friend about Chatterbox Reds and what we do. If you know a Reds fan, tell them about our podcast. Make sure they're checking it out. And then, off the bench, 10 a.m. to noon on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. On Tuesday morning, yours truly will be hosting, along with my pal Craig Sandlin. The normal crew, Trace Fowler, and the guys will be at Prasco Park. Chatterbox Sports is actually hosting the Joe Nuxall Classic with the broadcast, so they'll be taking care of that all day. but I'll be on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube for Off the Bench, 10 a.m. to noon. Love for you to join us there. That's also available in podcast form, so you can check that out. That'll be up later on Tuesday afternoon. Links to all of that stuff is in the episode notes below. We'll hope that you have a fantastic Tuesday. I'll either see you on Off the Bench, you'll see you on Chatterbox Reds on YouTube, or I'll talk to you again in podcast feed on Wednesday morning. Go Reds.